I think the traditions do something for us. And here are a few things that I think that they do for us. They bring comfort and belonging. Traditions help us to feel like we belong, and they bring a comfort to us. They reinforce values. We have traditions that will help reinforce values, values like integrity and personal responsibility. They create memories, as I just shared with you, memories of growing up and getting up early, early in the morning on Christmas Day to see what was left under the tree. They enrich holiday traditions like special foods. They help to promote memories that we can look back on. So traditions. Traditions are helpful and traditions are good. But they also can get in the way of God. And that's really what is happening here in our passage today, is that what Jesus is pointing out is these traditions that they have are getting in the way of really what is at the center of our walk with Jesus. So the Pharisees, they were challenging Jesus because his disciples were not keeping to the traditions of the day, which was to wash your hands. And to wash your hands meant that you were ceremonial clean, that you would be able to present yourself clean. And the issues that were there that the Pharisees saw was that Jesus was not teaching his disciples these traditions. We should understand as well that these traditions that he's talking about were ones that were passed down verbally. And they were hundreds of them. They were ways of deciphering the law. And it was some 200 years after Jesus died and he rose again, some 200 years after that, that they started to actually write these traditions down. It's called the Talmud. That's what they have today. And it explains the laws and the prophets. But we'll get into that a little bit more. But what happens when we make a tradition greater than God? It begins to trump the heart. Traditions, when they begin to be more important than our relationship with God, they begin to trump what is really at the center of everything, which is our heart. And what happens is that traditions, they do this, they allow traditions to be the main thing and not the heart. So I have to practice this. This is what is most important, but I lose sight of what is really behind that tradition. Why am I doing this? Why am I traditionally coming to church every Sunday? What is behind that? And if we don't teach the heart of it, that when we get older, it's easy then to walk away from it. Here's another thing that happens. When that happens, this is when we begin to focus on what is seen on the outside and not what is happening on the inside. So I'm looking and I'm making sure that what you see on the outside looks really good. So my hands are all washed, they're all cleaned. But on the inside, it's not that way at all. But it looks good. It gives the appearance of that. And so the Pharisees, they were upset that Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher, he was not teaching his disciples these traditions. If you want, you can look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 14. Because in Galatians 1, 14, Paul talks about who he is. He's talking about how he's such a great Jew. And he says these words: "And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of the Father." Here is Paul. He is saying that, listen, here I was. I was looking at traditions and I was holding traditions up here and I was zealous for this. But as we know, God comes to him and says, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus has a response to them. And his response, he says to them, is he says, "You are hypocrites." Scripture even says that you are hypocrites. So to be a hypocrite is what? To be a hypocrite in that time, what they understood was is you were acting, but you would be acting as if you were the only person on stage, and you would have a mask, and you put a mask on, and as you put that mask on, you would be this character, you take that mask off, and you put another mask on, and now you'd be another character. And that's what he's saying, is you are hypocrites, you are wearing these masks, and you're just masking yourself, and we don't really see who you really are. And so he brings in the scripture from Isaiah chapter 29. And he reveals that really what is at the center of everything is the heart. So he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines that the commandments of men." The more concerned, they're more concerned with what people see rather than what God knows. When we hold to traditions because of what we want people to see, more than what we want God to reveal, these traditions are hurting us and not helping us. So traditions aren't bad. They're only bad when they move us away from God and not to him. So what matters? The condition of the heart. That's what matters. What matters in everything we do is the condition of the heart. It is where we say, excuse me, it is where what we say and what we do comes from. That is what matters, because our heart is where what we say and what we do. Not in the actions out here, but in here. It is from the heart, the core of who we are. It does not matter what we say with our lips. It matters what is coming from the heart. And when it becomes tradition, it just becomes religion. And it's here that we manipulate our actions and others. And I've seen this. In our Wednesday time study, we've been talking a little bit about this, and I told a story of a guy, Vince Barkman was his name, and Vince was going to a church, and they had traditions that were like laws, and one of them was the color of shoes that you would wear to church on Sunday. Yes, and they needed to be black shoes. And so Vince, his shoes were getting a little tattered, and so he went out and he bought himself a new pair of shoes, and they were on sale. He was very proud of them, and so he comes to church, and he's sitting there, and he puts his foot up like this, and he's listening to the message, and the sun is shining down on his shoes, his new shoes. They were just glorious. Afterwards, one of the elders came up to him and said, "Vince, how come you're not wearing the right shoes, the right color?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Your shoes are brown." He goes, "No, they're not. They're black." And they said, "No, they're brown, Vince. I could see when the sun was shining on them, they're brown. They're not black." Sure enough, Vince went out into the parking lot. He looked down, and yes, they were actually more of a brown than black. And so this elder said, "Vince, why did you try to deceive us?" Vince walked away and he thought, wait, there's something wrong here. I honestly bought these shoes believing they were black and not brown. And now I'm being accused that I'm trying to be deceptive. Something's not right here. And so they told him that he had to get rid of his shoes and get new shoes. Well, Vince came to church and he didn't get rid of his shoes. He wore the same shoes. And you know what they did? They excommunicated him. They booted him out of the church. Not only that, that it was so severe that he could not even eat with his own family. He had to eat at another table. And it was then that Vince says, something's not right here. We've got a tradition in our church that is missing the heart of the matter. And so Vince left the church. And eventually, his family followed him, and he was able to eat at the same table. It was then that Vince actually began to understand. He started coming to the church that I was going to, and he began to understand that the heart matters more than traditions, more than any traditions in our lives. And you see, we can manipulate the situation. We can manipulate people when we begin to hold to a tradition over what really matters, which is the heart. And so Jesus gives this example. He gives an example about caring for your parents. So Scripture says that you must honor your father and mother. And in that day, in that culture, there was no social system that would help out your parents. You were it. You helped them out. And so as your parents aged and it was passed on to you, so the inheritance was passed on to the older child now had all this inheritance, and part of their duty was that they would take care of their parents. But they created a tradition, which basically said that Jesus is trying to point out about how traditions get in the way of following him. He says, what you have done is you have come and you have said that it's okay. If you say that all that you have belongs to God, it's all God's, then that now takes you away from your obligation of caring for your parents. You don't have to, because it's God's and you've got to do what God wants you to do. So they found this loophole in the system. And God is, and Jesus is saying, listen, this is what it looks like. The heart of the matter is that you care for the people around you. And you have brought in traditions that allow you to skirt that, to get by that. So this is what Jesus is expressing. The law was meant to bring us into a deeper relationship with Yahweh. It was meant to move us towards God, not around him. And this is what the traditions had begun to do. It began to cause them to skirt around what is at the center of everything, which is your heart. So we go back to verse 7, and it says here, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So it becomes this heart matter more than anything else. And so that's what we find in the following verses. And that we'll look at them right now. So Jesus goes on in verse 14 and he says this. And he says, He called the people again to him again and he said, "Hear me, all you who understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him will defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defiles him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, the disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "There you are also without understanding. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared that all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man comes the evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sexuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So Jesus is expressing in this, as he says, it's a matter of the heart. It's not good, it is not good acts that make a person good or bad. It's not good acts. It is what comes out of our heart. Our sinful actions come because of an unrenovated heart. It is an inside-out look, not an outside-in. That's what he's saying. We can look good on the outside, but it's really what is in the inside that matters. And our life can't be what I'm hoping people will see of me. It has to be what God sees of me. That is what is most important. It's not what you think of me, although I want you to think well of me. It's what God thinks of me. And if I make it about what you think of me, then I am going to make sure that my acts are good, that my traditions look good. Jesus is concerned about what is in the inside. What is on the inside? So we need to look at our heart. We need to look at what we're focusing on. Is our focus on what people think or what God thinks? Kingdom thinking is inside thinking. Matthew 22. You're familiar with this, but you can turn there because it's always good to look at it. In Matthew 22, Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? Can you tell me what the greatest commandment is, Jesus? And he says, yeah, I'll tell you what the greatest commandment is. And he gives the Shema. It's something that they repeated every day as Jewish people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What is that? Do you see that? That is inside workings. With all your heart, inside. With all your soul, inside. With all your mind, inside. This is inside out kingdom thinking, because we start on the inside. We start with a place where it says, God, I need to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind on the inside. And then it's the outside. Did I get it right? No? 37. Thank you. Just keep whispering very loudly until you catch up to my dyslexic brain, okay? So it's 37 and 38? Okay, thank you. So there we go. 37 to 40. 40. 37 to 40, okay. So it's loving others. And he says, I'll give you the second command. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's outside. Do you see? It's outside. We so easily can turn it backwards. We so easily can make it about the outside, thinking that it's going to influence the inside. But it starts on the inside. It starts by allowing God to be and have full reign on the inside. And it's coming and saying, God, I want to love you with my whole being. A whole insides. How do I love my neighbor as myself? Because I love my God, and my God loves me. How do I love my neighbor, which I'm struggling with? Because I can know that I am loved by a God when I struggle. You see that? That is so important. How do I love my neighbor when I am struggling with them? Because I know that my God loves me when I struggle. So I am now loving them the way God loves me. It's on the inside out. That's why Paul says it's by the renewing of your mind. It's by the constant coming inwardly and saying, God, I seek you above all else. I think it's much easier to present a clean outer person. Here, well, people will think well of me. But eventually, if we don't take care of the inside, it will leak out. It does. It leaks out. And sometimes it doesn't leak out in good places. And most often, when it starts leaking out with me, it's where the very people that I love the most and the very person that I'm with the most, which is my wife. And then I'm not showing that patience and that love and that forgiveness and that humility. And I become bossy and demanding and unappreciative. Yes, me. Because I am like you. Get that? So I must find myself in a place where I'm looking the inside out, resting and seeking God. See, that's what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples in this part here of 14:23. He's saying, we get all concerned. We get all concerned about what we're doing out here, but we need to be concerned what we're doing in here. And are we allowing the master to be the master inside? There's a saying that says you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. They say Abraham Lincoln said that, but actually you can't attribute it to it. Somebody said it, but I like it because it's true. It's true. And here's the real truth, is that I can never fool God any of the time. So where does that lead us? What is it that we need to do with this? Because, again, traditions aren't bad. It's just when we make traditions the main thing. When we make traditions trying to get us to God, or we make traditions about how we want people to see us, or we use traditions to manipulate people into doing what we want them to do. That's when it's bad. But I think what we need to go is we need to look at spiritual practices. So let me just, I talk about this, I give you spiritual practices. Let me just share a little bit more about that. So here's what I see. Spiritual practices are so we can engage with God. Not so that I can look good, but so that I can engage with God. When I slow down, when I make sure that my life is not so busy that I have no time for God, but I actually slow my life down purposely, and I practice slowing down for His good purposes. So an example of that is this, is that there are times that I will pick the longest line that I can get into. I will pick the longest line. If it's at a grocery store or if I'm even driving, sometimes I will stay in the slow lane. That is not like me. I want to get around, but I will stay there, and it will cause me to, when I do it purposely, to begin to pray. Sometimes it's, Lord, help me because I'm getting agitated. Sometimes I slow down and I pray and I begin to pray for the people around me. I begin to see the people around me. And I then begin to say, God, how can you use me in that? Spiritual practices allow us to see God more. So again, if I slow down, just a simple practice to say, I'm going to slow down. I begin to look and say, God, where are you here? What are you doing here? Instead of saying, God, come be part of my day, I am actually saying, God, I want to be part of your day. What are you doing here? Spiritual practices reveal our true heart. When I rest in him, when I rely on him, it allows him to show me my true heart. So, what are some spiritual practices? Well, giving thanks each day. Simply coming and giving thanks each day for the things that God has done or is doing. Choosing to see people as God's image bearers. And I simply practice that I'm going to practice today saying I choose to see these people around me as God's image bearers instead of a frustration, instead of why are they doing what they're doing? Slowing down, I mentioned that one. Taking a Sabbath day. Do we actually take a Sabbath day? And for those of you who grew up, especially in the Brethren Church, this Sabbath can really seem like, oh, back to rules and regulations. We'll have to go there someday and talk about this, but Sabbath is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing that we struggle to practice. Doing a daily examine. Coming into my day and saying, God, I just want to pause right now and celebrate where I saw you at work today. I want to celebrate where you called me to be engaged in what you were doing. And then, God, where did I miss you today? Where did I miss what you were doing? Where did my heart go astray? So doing these practices and having them in our life. So this is how I want to end this morning. Is I want to encourage you. You don't have to. All this is by invitation only. You don't have to do this. But I would encourage you to take the next 24 hours and sit with God. Take you about 15 or 20 minutes. If you are thick-headed like me, it may take you 30 to 40 minutes, maybe an hour. But you sit with God and you're going to ask this one question. What is one thing in my heart that you want to work on this week? What is one thing in my heart that you want to work on this week? Because God wants to do a great work in your life. And then write it down. Write it down. Then ask him, what is one thing that I could practice this week to help me become more like you in my heart? So if you have one thing he wants you to work on, what is the one thing you can do that is going to be the opposite of that? Wait for an answer. Write it down. Be accountable. I dare you to be accountable. Tell somebody, this is what God wants me to work on. This is what he spoke to me about. Your spouse may tell you, yes, 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 amen, I've been praying for that. They may celebrate. Or your child may say, parents, I dare you to have your child to keep you accountable for it. Have your parent keep you accountable for it. But be accountable with it, all right? So that's what I would encourage us to do. Do something with us. Instead of allowing a tradition to rule our heart, allow him to rule our heart. And then what I want to finally do is next week when we come back together, I want to give an opportunity for you to share. If anybody feels daring enough to get up and say, this is what God said to me about my heart, this is the practice he gave me, and this is what the result was. I did well, I didn't do well, I'm still working on it. Wow, I can't believe God did this. But I want us to share as a church. All right? I hope this has been helpful for you. It's been helpful for me this week to recognize this. And hear me out. I am not down on tradition. I love tradition. It's just when I make tradition my means of how I'm going to present myself to God and to others. It can't work. It doesn't work. And it gets mixed up. And I will manipulate my circumstances instead of allowing God to work in my life. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, we're going to sing a song, O Come, O Come. Emmanuel. Lord, we want you to come. May our hearts be that every day, Lord, we are seeking you to come. Lord, forgive us where we have misplaced our hearts. We have misplaced our desires. God, that we would recognize that it is a matter of the heart. Teach us, Lord, what it looks like to love you with all our heart, with our soul, with all our mind. So that, God, outwardly we can love others as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.